Good morning. Welcome in. It's the Christian Arcan Show. Wonderful work there by Thomas Crucifulli. Beautiful way to capture the beatdown that we've seen over these last 72 hours. Turn it up, Thomas. Come on. Let's go. Let's hear a little Frank. Oh, yeah. If I can make it. Where can you make it, Frank? Yes. New York. Oh, boy. Oh, it feels good, doesn't it? How are we feeling, Red Sox Nation? I'm feeling great. Oh, man, I could listen to that. You could start that montage up again, Thomas, and I could listen to it. It's only about a minute long, but I could listen to it over and over. Turn the music back up. Come on. I want more Frank. Thank you. I do, too. Ooh. You know what my favorite part of the game was?
When Volpe threw that ball.
The Volpe error. That's exactly it. Oh, man. That was supposed to be your guy, Yankees. These little town blues. All right. Turn the music off. I've had enough. I'll ask for it again later, but you can turn it off for now. It's the Christian Arcan Show here on a beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. Isn't it a beautiful day today?
Yankees lose.
Doesn't the sun just shine a little brighter and the birds chirp a little nicer? Everything about today, I walked outside, my car looked a little cleaner. It was like shining in the sunlight when I walked out to my driveway today. My lawn has been a disgusting mess for, I don't know, about a month and a half now. But I walked outside this morning, I looked out, it was perfect. It was like true green chem lawn came and fixed the whole thing up. It was shining like Augusta National out there. Everything's beautiful. Everything's right in the world, isn't it? Everything just feels good today. I don't know how else to describe it. The Red Sox are putting the kind of beat down on the Yankees right now that just makes you feel happy. It just unlocks that, whatever that is, deep inside all of us as Red Sox fans. And, you know, in the era of Aaron Boone, the Red Sox have had pretty good success against him recently. It didn't start off all that great, but recently I think it's gotten better. You've seen Alex Cora outmaneuver him many, many times. You've seen the Yankees this year relying on their young shortstop, who has been just a disaster for him, in Anthony Volpe. He's not even that young anymore. I remember when he was supposed to be the next A-Rod. Forget the next Jeter. He was going to be the next A-Rod, Anthony Volpe. all those bullpen arms that they got at the trade deadline, every single one of them looks like a total bust. Every single one of them looks like it's blown up in their face. Which, by the way, should not absolve Craig Breslow for all the moves he didn't make. Well, good thing he didn't make all those moves. Look at the Yankees. They made moves and it didn't work. I know. But there was moves that that Craig Breslow should have been trying to do anyway. And I'm not going to jump all over the Yankees because they tried to do something and it didn't work. That's better than not doing anything. But it didn't work. It didn't work. Your closer sucks. All the other closers that you signed also suck. Oh, this is so nice. It really is. I know there's still like 6 weeks left in the season, and I may be celebrating a little prematurely here. But a season like this for the Red Sox, you know what it's been like. We all went through those first 3 months together. That's a quarter of a year. Forget a baseball season. 3 months of our lives we watched this team struggle around 500, go five games under 500. We watched this team have all sorts of issues that really were infuriating. April, May, and June, I was almost done with this team. I needed a break from this team. And now to see them just manhandling the New York Yankees the way that they are, and doing it at just the right time. That's the great thing about this, is that whenever the Red Sox are in real trouble, you know who comes along and saves them? The Yankees. They come on over to Fenway, or the Red Sox go to the Bronx, and they lay down like little puppies, and the Red Sox roll over them. They roll over them. It is remarkable, because the Red Sox aren't really doing that with too many teams this year. The Red Sox this year, they've had success against Houston and, you know, some of these other teams that are in the playoff picture, but they're not dominating like that. You know, like, it's just, this is what's happening with New York is different. You're in the Yankees' heads. They're at the plate. They're tight. You have two guys in your rotation right now, and Garrett Crochet and Brian Bayo, who own the Yankees about as well as I remember any Red Sox starter in my lifetime owning the Yankees. And that includes Pedro, that includes Chris Sale, that includes like Clemens back in the day, that includes all of them. I'm watching these guys, and I know it's still early in both of their careers, we're being honest here, but right now at this point, watching Crochet last night, I just watched the video of all 11 strikeouts that he had. Some of those guys couldn't have hit him if they were swinging a surfboard. And I remember that. I remember Pedro pitching to Soriano and just having him on a string, basically. You know, like you remember those starts where Pedro just was doing whatever he wanted to out there. And poor Soriano or Sheffield or whoever was up there swinging, flailing away, not close to the ball. That's what Crochet had him doing last night. Or yesterday, I should say. That's it wasn't last night, it was yesterday. But yes, the pig was oinking yesterday. He had him with the fat. And by the way, just for the record, that was a pretty interesting strike zone. It's been an interesting strike zone all three of these games. I've watched, and I'm sitting there going, all right, I'll take it. That wasn't strike three, but I will certainly take it. And when you're Garrett Crochet, you earn those, you know. You always get a little bit of an expanded strike zone when you're out there dominating like he was. But, yeah, I did notice that. I've been noticing it this entire time. The umpiring this year, I feel like, has not been very good. But that's another story for another show. We're here to crap on the Yankees right now, and that's what I'm going to do, at least for the next 2 hours. At noon, we're going to be joined by Tom King. We'll talk a little Patriots with him. And a little secret about Tom King, he's a Yankee fan. And don't think that that didn't go into my thought process through booking him today. We'll get some thoughts from all that's going on with the baseball team as well when we talk to TK. But that's coming up at the 12 o'clock hour. For the rest of the time, I'm ready to just go full bore. Red Sox Yankee beatdown party. That's what I'm thinking. Even if they lose this game, I don't care if Dustin May goes out there and gives up 100 runs today. It really doesn't matter to me. The Red Sox have won the season series. They won that on Friday. They put an exclamation point on this season's rivalry between these two teams, I think, with that win last night. The Yankees are in disarray, too. That's the other part of this that I'm really enjoying. That's the other part of this that really, sets my toes a-tapping, is the fact that you're not just, you got guys balking runs in, which the Red Sox have now suddenly become like the team that gets the other team to balk. I don't know how they're doing that exactly or why no other team is trying to do it like they are, but it seems like every other game, the Red Sox have someone jumping, running around, trying to get the pitcher to balk, and most of the time it works. It worked with Sagano over there in Baltimore. It worked again yesterday. I remember when the Red Sox were playing the Phillies, who was it? Harper? Harper was running down the third baseline, and he got balked home or something. I forget exactly how that all went, but I wonder if Cora saw that and thought, yeah, we're going to do that now. We're going to be the team that does that. We're going to go for it, and that's going to be our new thing. Eventually, teams figure it out. Stuff like that doesn't work. But right now, it's working. Right now, it's working because runs are getting balked home at a pretty ridiculous rate, considering how infrequently that generally happens. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I'm Christian Arcand. This is the Christian Arcand Show, and I'm here till 1 o'clock today. We have a full day of programming today because it's a night game for the Red Sox, which means after me, I believe we have an exciting trio, Thomas, don't we?
Yes, sir.
It says that it's Sunday Skate, but it's not on the schedule, but it's not Sunday Skate. Scott McLaughlin's there, but it's McLaughlin, Tommy Freeze Pops, and who am I missing?
Justin Turpin.
And Turp! Wow. That's a show. I'm gonna be sticking around listening to that show. Absolutely. That is good stuff right there. I don't know why it's put in a Sunday Skate, but I guess that doesn't matter. It's, again, neither here nor there. But we will be taking your Red Sox and Yankees-related calls here until about 12 noon. So if you want to jump in line, you can do so at 617-779-7937. Now, I will continue to dump on the Yankees because why not? But I also would like to say that the offensive explosion yesterday was nice to see. It was very nice to see because prior to yesterday's game, this Red Sox offense had really been troubling me. And that's even with the two wins in the first two games over the Yankees. They're going to beat the Yankees. That's a given, I think, at this point. In the regular season, anyway, they are going to beat the Yankees. That next series they have against them, they are going to beat them in that series, too. The Yankees can't process beating the Red Sox right now. I thought maybe they'd have a chance to split this series since it's in the Bronx, and they'd be at home, and they had just won four straight, and Judge seemed like he was back. Judge, by the way, not looking great. Garrett Crochet made him look silly a couple of times yesterday. I know he got a double off Weissert there after Crochet came out, but that was noticeable. Judge doesn't look the same. And his numbers since he's come back from the injury are not good. So something to keep an eye on there. Giancarlo Stanton, they have to play him in right field because Judge can't play the outfield yet. And he's having a lot of trouble out there, too. Just moving around. Like, he still can hit the ball, obviously, although that home run yesterday was one of the, even for Yankee Stadium, one of the dinkiest ones I've ever seen. But he's still a dangerous guy in that lineup. He just, having him out there in the outfield is a real liability for them, as is Volpe at shortstop. And it's crazy that Red Sox fans and players can sort of look down at the Yankees for their defense and for their stupid play when the Red Sox have had so many errors this year and run into so many outs and done so much dumb crap to give away games to much lesser teams than the Yankees, too, by the way. The Yankees doing this, too, is sort of like reminds you, right, yeah, it's not like the Red Sox have had any trouble with this team. The trouble that they're having has been with everybody else. And the Yankees come to town and they just kind of fix whatever's wrong with them. Or they have issues, but the Yankees' issues are just worse. And that's been tremendous. Oh, it's been tremendous. 617-779-7937. We'll go to the phones early and often here today as it is a Sunday program, and I want to talk to the people, of course. Plus, I don't know if anybody's still partying from last night or yesterday with that game. If you are, then good on you. It's been a great couple of days. And if you've been to these games at Yankee Stadium, I'm jealous because that one yesterday with the fans taking over the bleachers, oh, was that great.
Did you see the video of them taunting the roll call guy with the airplane celebration?
I sure did. The roll call guy, which, by the way, that's still very cool.
Loser.
Yankee fans. Hey, everybody, Cody Bellinger, yay! Aaron Judge! So dumb. They're so proud of themselves, too. You know what I like when it's someone whose name doesn't work and they have to, like, make something up, you know? It's not enough. The syllables don't work out right, so they have to chant something dumb and awkward and, like, Bellinger. No, that doesn't work. Sorry, no, I have to do something else. And it's just, you just sit there like a bunch of dummies, like a bunch of dummy Yankee fans. Oh, that's the best. And then you got to make up some dumb nickname. You all get to pretend you're John Sterling for a second. Speaking of John Sterling, I do kind of miss him. Dave Sims is perfectly good play-by-play announcer. I think he's very good. But what I like to do when the Red Sox are beating the Yankees is, and not just beating them, but like beating the hell out of them, I like to listen to the WFAN broadcast. That's listen, no offense to our own Will Fleming or Lou or Mike Monaco or even myself. I'm part of the broadcast. I'm part of the Red Sox broadcast. Pre and post game, that's part of the broadcast. I'm not calling the pitches or anything, but I'm in there. And even though I'm in there, I still want to hear what the WFAN people are saying. I want to hear the despair. I want to hear the light of, you know, because Yankee fans, for the most part, are pretty good baseball fans. They may be annoying and unhygienic and all that, but they do know baseball and they do care about baseball. But watching, they also think it's like their birthright for the Yankees to win every year. And so every year when they blow it, there's this like sense of entitlement that gets ripped away. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I love. When Yankee fans realize, oh boy, hey, not this year. Yeah, I guess not. And that little piece of them that expects to win every year, that thinks the rest of the world should bow down to the mighty New York Yankees once they realize that they come up short. Or when they blow it in the World Series like last year. I forgot about that. Whatever it is that ends their season. And I know the Red Sox haven't had good seasons here lately, but the Red Sox have a different philosophy towards baseball than I think your average Yankee fan or Yankee player. And that's just a fact. You can say the same thing about the Celtics, right? In reverse. And I can understand why fans of teams who hate the Celtics love to relish in the Celtics' downfall. I get that, 100%. Patriots with Brady and Belichick, get that too. 100% I got that. But the Yankees, different story. It's a different story with the Yankees, different sport, different attitude, different everything. And watching them realize how fraudulent their team is, because the Yankees are a bunch of frauds. This is one of the more fraudulent good teams in the American League I've ever seen. Their record against the good teams in the American League, against the Blue Jays, against the Tigers, against the Red Sox, etc., is pathetic. They're horrible against these teams. I had the exact number of what the record was, and I'll pull it up here for you, but it's very, very poor this year. The only team they're good against is Seattle. They beat up on Seattle for whatever reason, and they've been doing that basically my whole life. I remember that one. I think it was 2001 when Seattle with Ichiro, they won like 120 games. And it seemed like they were just going to steamroll all over everybody right to the World Series. Nope, here come the Yankees. They beat them. And then I believe that was the year that Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling with the Diamondbacks beat them in the World Series. But yeah, it seems like no matter what, the Yankees are just going to get pummeled. They're going to pummel the Mariners. That's just a thing you can set your watch to. But the Yankees are fraudulent. Against the Tigers, Astros, Blue Jays, and Red Sox this year, the Yankees are 6-18. 6-18. That's horrible. They're not a serious team, I don't think. They have players who should be taken seriously, and they have a lineup that should be much better. But right now I'm watching them, and I'm watching them try and defend their home field. I'm watching them give away at bats. I'm watching them give away outs. I'm watching them kick the ball around. I'm watching them airmail throws. I'm watching them balk runners home. It's not a serious team. But before you start high-stepping into the end zone here, Red Sox fans, these are all adjectives and descriptors that could very well have been used to describe the Red Sox for most of this year, okay? And while I do enjoy them kicking the crap out of the Yankees like they are, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I expect this to continue. You have the Baltimore Orioles after this series in Baltimore. Need I remind you what the Orioles just came to Fenway and did to you? And how ridiculous they made you look? And how you couldn't drive in a run with the bases loaded and nobody outs against Rico Garcia? Okay? So enjoy the beatdown. I'm enjoying it. I'm dancing. I'm doing the Irish jig over here, all right? Watching the to a Frank Sinatra song. Watching the Red Sox beat up on the Yankees. But let's also remember that there's still some time left in the season, and that this team, while complete owners of the Yankees, they can sign the deed, they can take home the title, they can start paying to the Homeowners Association. They own Yankee Stadium right now. The Red Sox, as Dan Shaughnessy so aptly put it yesterday, the Red Sox are the Yankees' daddies. But that doesn't mean that they've somehow figured it all out. I'll believe that when I see it. I know that they can beat the Yankees. I know that the Yankees just cannot compete with them for whatever reason. And we'll dive into some of those reasons because I do have some thoughts. But I'm also not going to pretend like that series with Baltimore didn't just happen. Like they didn't just struggle with the Marlins. And like they don't have to take on Toronto and Detroit their last six games at the end of this season, because they do. All right? So there's still plenty of baseball left to play. I'm happy right now. We should all be happy right now. And I think Dustin May is going to go out there and they're going to sweep this series. I know that they have the pitching advantage today. Absolutely they do. Rodon against Dustin May, it's not even close. But I think the Red Sox are going to go out there and pile drive them just like they've been doing for the last 3 days. The Yankees are dysfunctional right now. The Yankees are dysfunctional. The Red Sox may have broken them. And not only that, I think the Red Sox, if they complete a sweep today, I think Aaron Boone's job this year could be in jeopardy. I think if they sweep the Yankees today, if that team gets swept, you might get an alert on your phone about Aaron Boone. I'm not kidding. I don't know anything. I'm not going to pretend like I have some inside information. But if I was upstairs there with that Yankee team right now, and I've been watching this happen against the Red Sox, watching this team get buried by the Boston Red Sox, I'd be looking at that manager and saying, okay, 2003 was great, Aaron. It was 22 years ago. What have you done for me lately? And the answer is not much. World Series last year, choked this year. It's been rough. I think Aaron Boone may be on borrowed time. And I'm not saying that's necessarily fair. He did have his team in the World Series last year. But that plus, $2 gets you a copy of the Sunday paper. And the way things are going these days, I don't know. I don't feel like Boone's very popular right now. I feel like Aaron Boone and Anthony Volpe are the two least popular New Yorkers right now. In the entire city. Prove me wrong. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got open phone lines here. Room for you on the Red Sox-Yankee beatdown Sunday morning party here as we get ready for Game 4, which is at 7 o'clock, the final game of this series here in the Bronx, the penultimate series between the Red Sox and the Yankees. First, here's Thomas Crisafulli. He'll get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, could the Red Sox kill Aaron Boone? I think they can. That's coming up.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox blew the doors off the Yankees yesterday, winning 12-1. Garrett Crochet went 7 full innings, allowing 1 earned run, striking out 11 along the way. Trevor Story and Carlos Narvaez homered in the win. The Sox look to pull off the series sweep tonight. You can listen to the game right here on WEEI, the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Coverage starts at 6:10 on the MassMutual pregame show with Joe Wild. Dustin May is on the bump for your Boston Red Sox. First pitch at 7:10. Go sweep them, Sox. I'm Tom Crisafulli, and that's your trending here on WEEI, WEEI.com.
Aaron Boone, manager of the New York Yankees. He's not from New York, but he is managing that team, and I think he's in trouble. I think Aaron Boone's in trouble. I think he should be in trouble, too, by the way. It's Christian Arcan here, the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI. We are Boston Sports Original. We're coming to you live all throughout New England and even down in the tri-state area as well. So hopefully there's some, I don't know, Connecticut Yankee fans down there, somebody hearing this. All trolling's all well and good, but it can't just be one big circle, you know what. It's got to be some people on the receiving end of that as well. And I would imagine if there are any Yankee fans listening right now, they're not disagreeing with me about Aaron Boone. They're not very defensive of him. Have you noticed that? They don't have his back. Red Sox fans get Alex Cora's back. But you don't see that with Yankee fans and Aaron Boone. And I know that there's some Red Sox fans that generally don't like Cora or think that he, you know, is not, he's only good when he cheer, whatever it is. I mean, I've heard all the phone calls. I'm in a unique position when it comes to that stuff. But I also think, and I've noticed that when the team is out in public, Cora, fans like Cora. And that goes back to winter weekends out in Springfield. That goes to really any sort of appearance like that when there's a chance to assign blame to the front office, to ownership, etc. Cora is usually the one that gets the applause while everybody else gets booed. And part of that, I think, is his personality. Alex Cora is very affable. He's easy to talk to. He gives good quotes. He's an easy interview. Will Fleming and him, they have a great thing going in those pregame shows. They do great interviews every single day because Cora is a good interview. He's a good interview. He's a good quote. He's thoughtful. He gives you real answers. He doesn't run away from stuff. He doesn't stonewall you. He doesn't talk down to people. There's a lot of reasons to like him. And I'm not saying that Boone does all those things, but, you know, Aaron Boone, for whatever reason, just didn't grab. He doesn't have that same kind of rope. He doesn't have that same kind of latitude with Yankee fans, even after taking him to the World Series last year and being a hero for them for in 2003 with that awful home run off Tim Wakefield, which, you know, for them at the time, the Red Sox were still 86-85 at that point, but 85 years waiting for the next one. And they got close. And then Aaron Boone just said, nope, sorry, everybody, not this year. And then the Yankees went and lost to Josh Beckett and Dontrell Willis. But again, we're getting caught up in the past. He has all of the credentials to be a Yankee legend. You would think a guy like that would get all sorts of chances, and maybe he already has. But I feel as though this year, Yankee fans and Yankee press are unforgiving. They're really unforgiving. It's very, what have you done for me lately? And there's not a lot of other directions to go. You know, like they can go after the Steinbrenners, I guess, and say they don't spend like they used to, and that's kind of true, but they do have a lot of top-end talent on the team right now. I feel like the Red Sox, if they had made moves at the trade deadline, there would be no way this year to criticize Craig Breslow, no way to criticize John Henry. You wouldn't be able to say anything. Them leaving that door open by having a lousy trade deadline was really, for someone like Alex Cora at that point in the season, when things weren't going as well as they're going certainly now, that was big. That was big for him in terms of public opinion. Because at the beginning of the year and through the first 3 months, Alex Cora was getting looked at kind of funny. Alex Cora was getting a bit of the side eye. Well, wait a minute, Alex. You got an ace. You got a closer. You got a right-handed power bat who you really wanted in Bregman, who you used to manage back in Houston and who you really, really wanted. And now, what, the team's still 500. Well, wait a minute. Maybe it's not the team. Maybe it wasn't the guys on the team. Maybe it was you. And then they started getting hot. And then they get to the trade deadline. They do very little, although I am interested in seeing what Dustin May does tonight. I think he could have a good night, actually. As messed up as the Yankees are. The Yankees are so tight right now. The Yankees are very, very tight right now. I think they are going to be giving away at-bats just like they did these first couple of games. I don't think that's going to change. For that matter, when you look at guys coming off of injuries like Aaron Judge, who are expected to carry the offense and are not doing that, I mean, he's just not doing it. Bellinger, he's not been great. The bottom of that lineup is starting to look a lot, you know, a lot softer than maybe you thought. Whereas the Red Sox, still a work in progress. It's not like they have everything all settled either. They're still cycling through who the long relievers and guys in that bullpen are down at the bottom of that bullpen. They're still cycling through who's going to be playing first and second base, you know, with the password up right now and playing in the outfield and all that. Like, there's still some plates spinning for the Red Sox right now, no question about it. But the Yankees, I feel like, are approaching disarray. And when you're on the brink of disarray with a week left to go in the month of August, that's bad news for you. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Boone had some very, very weird decisions last night. I thought he would have, what was the kid's name who didn't bunt in the fifth inning with two on? I forget what that kid's name was, but yeah, they had that going on. There was a couple other times where I thought Boone was a little bit asleep at the wheel. He doesn't really display a ton of accountability, aside from saying it was a crappy weekend. But, you know, to hold someone accountable. Hold yourself accountable. Tell everybody what's wrong and what's going on, and expect more from your team. I feel like those are the things that Boone doesn't really do. He makes a big show of getting ejected. You know, he likes getting thrown out of games. He likes, you know, putting on a little show with the umpires and stuff like that. But that sort of stuff gets old. And I think that while if he was my manager, I would say, you know, at the very least, you got to be sticking around one more year, or at least get to the playoffs again and see how far you can take it. This team was just in the World Series last year. But I think everyone watching knows what they're looking at. And they're looking at a team that is in real trouble here coming into the last month of the season. And once again, I'm here for it. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Rich is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, Christian. Good listening to you.
Thanks, Rich.
The Red Sox are, of course, on a run right now. But karma, I think, has a lot to do with it. I mean, I'm an old guy. I go back to 78 when the Sox lost the big lead, the 14-game lead in August. And mm-hmm. The Red Sox got swept by the Yankees, and they actually referred to it as the Boston Massacre.
Right.
And that was, of course, the year that Bucky Dent hit the home run. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me, I'll call it what you will, but yesterday's stake, with all the criticism that comes and goes, yesterday's stake is today's number two. And we have to... This is sort of like a magical season, different things happening. I can remember in 67 just collecting all the back pages of the Boston Herald because that's where the Red Sox were and they were making their drive. And it's so exciting and it gives people a diversion from normal life and especially politics. I'll leave it at that. Go Sox.
All right. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. I don't know that I would call this season special yet. It could certainly become a special season. And there's been some benchmarks of this season that when you look back on them, like, they don't do this anymore. But back when the Red Sox were winning World Series, like in 2004, and with the Patriots too and all that, all these teams had it until DVDs got phased out. But there would be these championship DVDs. And you'd get them and you'd watch them and all this behind-the-scenes footage from the team and, you know, relive the great championship run that they had and all that. For people my age, and Thomas, I don't know, probably you too, you got a big collection of Boston sports championship DVD. Like, you know, you just went out and you'd get them. They'd get released after they won. You buy your hat, you buy your shirt, you buy your DVD. That was like part of the way it worked. That was part of the fan experience. And if you were to put one together this season so far, there's been a couple of those moments already. The Devers trade is a huge one. I mean, that's huge. And that's one of those moves that is either going to sink you as a team and an organization, your reputation and all that stuff with Breslow and Henry and saving all that money and all that. And that's sort of what I thought was going to happen. I didn't think that they were going to be able to, offensively anyway, bounce back from that. I thought losing Devers in this lineup was going to hurt them to the point where they wouldn't be able to recover, and I was wrong about that. Then again, you still have a month left in the season here, so maybe we'll see. We'll see how these last 4 weeks go. But I'll tell you what, with Nathaniel Lowe contributing immediately after getting picked up off the scrap heap, Bregman's hitting the ball really well right now. You're seeing Trevor Story start to do some damage again. He finally got a hit with the bases loaded yesterday. That was great. He's got great numbers against the Yankees. Only person I'm concerned about right now, like legit concerned, is Jarren Duran. Jarren Duran has been in a bit of a slump lately. I think that's a thing I'd like to see change. I'd like to see him get back going, especially down the stretch. You're going to need him. You're going to need him on base. You're going to need him driving in runs and all of that in September and certainly in October should the Red Sox make it there, which is looking like they're going to do. Their playoff odds are very, very high right now. Red Sox playoff odds, as of today, are 90.1%. The Blue Jays, who have a five-game lead in the East, are at 99.8%. And the Yankees, who are a game and a half back of the Red Sox, have better playoff odds, but that's just because of the remaining schedule. The Red Sox remaining schedule is kind of tough. They do have some gut games against, you know, the A's and the Pirates and stuff like that, but the Pirates, they are going to catch Skeens, so that's no given right there. The A's have some sneaky good players in that lineup, and they've been surprising people all year. And like I told you, they got to close out the season against Toronto and against Detroit. So the Red Sox, I think, still are very much a playoff team. I think an easy playoff team. But they do have a tougher road down the stretch here than some of the other teams they're competing against, which is something to keep an eye on. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to Will in New Jersey. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, Christian. How's it going, man?
What's up, Will? What's going on?
Hey, I'm from New Jersey. I also love listening to WFAN all the time as well, especially as a Sox fan. And days after big-time Yankees. Jet losses, giant losses. It's one of my favorite things to do, like you said before, too.
It is a lovely pastime. Well, where in New Jersey are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm in, like, Central Jersey.
Central Jersey. Okay, very cool. What's on your mind?
Yeah, no, just calling in about the Sox. You know, listening to WFAN all the time, too, I get to hear all the Yankee complaints about Boone. But I think another point you're missing here, too, is the guy that really needs to go over there is Cashman, from what I hear from all the Yankee fans. He's the one making all these moves, and he brought in Boone to be the guy to coddle all these players. I think, like what you were saying before, Boone likes making a show on the field to the umpires because he doesn't do it in front of his guys. He doesn't hold anybody accountable, ever, anytime. That was Girardi, and they got rid of him, and they brought Boone in to be this guy for them, and it's clearly not working when you got Volpe sailing balls into the stands. And I was at the game Thursday. One of the best moments in that game was Chisholm on the routine double play, just sailing the ball, too. He should have got fired on the spot right then and there. Maybe they would have won the game yesterday or the game before if he got fired and, you know, didn't bring in Leiter after Fried was just completely dominating the Red Sox roster.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, listen, Will, you're right about that. Thanks for the call. Thanks for checking in from Jersey. Call back anytime. And, maybe I'll hear you calling in, trolling on WFAN. Brian Cashman does deserve a lot of crap. And not even necessarily for this roster that he's put together. But I'll give you two names that should haunt Brian Cashman. Marcus Stroman and DJ LeMahieu. DJ LeMahieu looked like he was ready to retire. And Cashman gave him a six-year, $90 million deal. That was remarkable. Marcus Stroman, who didn't want to move to the bullpen, he gave him, what, 2 years, $30, $40 million, I want to say, around there for Stroman. He's made some bad, bad moves, no question. Brian Cashman, but he's made, you know, he's also on the other side of that, brought in Goldschmidt, brought in Bellinger, did make a flurry of moves at the deadline. They all kind of blew up in his face, but at least he was out there trying, which is half the game. The other half is getting players who don't suck. But, Cashman, not a great year for him either. I think, though, if I had to guess, Boone would be on the chopping block before Cashman would be, if I were the Steinbrenners. That's how I'd look at it. Which of those moves would be less popular? Firing Cashman and keeping Boone would be less popular than doing it the other way around, I think. Then again, I'm not listening to FAN as much as I should be, but I'm just sort of going by, you know, if I was a Yankee fan, what would I be more upset by? And I think Yankee fans are much more upset with Aaron Boone. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Maybe I'm wrong. Yankee fans listening, I don't know why you would be, but if you're listening and want to correct me, go ahead. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got open phone lines here for you as we continue into the broadcast day. We will continue with your Red Sox calls as well, and some more thoughts on Garrett Crochet, Brian Bayo, and the Red Sox starting pitchers dominating this Yankee lineup. That's coming up next. Man, Crochet was awesome yesterday. It's Christian Arcand here, Christian Arcand Show on a Sunday, taking you up until 1 o'clock. And then we got the three amigos after that. We got Tommy Freeze Pops, we got Scott McLaughlin, we got Justin Turpin taking you for the rest of the afternoon until Dan Ball has your pregame show starting at 6 o'clock here on the Home for Red Sox Baseball, WEEI. Your phone number, 617-779-7937, if you'd like to chime in on what has been a, I think, tremendous 72 hours of Red Sox baseball. Some close wins over the Yankees, a 1-0 win followed by a 12-1 win yesterday. Just magical, really. It's been great. And I think they will sweep tonight, even if they don't. Doesn't matter. They do have to get their act together for Baltimore, which is a team that plays them tough and is a serious team. I know that they're not very good, but they're a team that's in a youth movement right now, and down the stretch here, they've been playing the role of spoiler. And they had series wins over the Mariners, over the Astros, over you. You're going to have to deal with them again starting on Monday. Right now, the Astros are kicking their ass. Astros, I think, could sweep them, right? I think they've won three in a row against Baltimore, in Baltimore. So maybe the Baltimore Magic Fairy dust is wearing off. I don't know. All I know is this. The Yankees can't hang with the Red Sox, and they can't hang with Garrett Crochet. Garrett Crochet, with the way he was keeping them off balance, he was blowing guys away for sure. He had a 99-mile-an-hour fastball at the top of the zone that Aaron Judge could not catch up to, and he struck him out there. But if you watch those strikeouts, a lot of them were sweepers that disappeared off the table, breaking balls, guys way out in front, guys totally off balance, and Crochet just breezing past them. And he's done that before. It's not like he hasn't had plenty of starts like that this year. But the way he was mixing his pitches, the way he was sort of pulling the string yesterday, it really reminded me of some of the great Red Sox pitchers. And not just, you know, guys who were good pitchers for the Red Sox, but guys who were really good against the Yankees. Guys who dialed it up a notch against the Yankees. And you know who else has been giving you that? Is Brian Bayo. Brian Bayo against the Yankees is basically Pedro. People call him Baby Pedro. Other people yell at him, at the first people for calling him Baby Pedro. And I'm sort of like that. I don't think you should call him Baby Pedro unless he's pitching against the Yankees. In that case, he kind of is Baby Pedro. They can't touch him. And there's not really a lot of other teams that you can say that about. Bayo splits against other teams. It's not like he has bad ones, but it stands out really against the Yankees. It stands out in a very real way. And that is great. It's great to know that you have two starting pitchers, both signed for a while, who give the Yankees fits. It's good to know that Roman Anthony is not afraid to play at Yankee Stadium. He had another big day yesterday. And those are guys who are going to be here a while. Those are guys who are going to torture the Yankees for a long time. And you can tell those fans noticed it. Those fans were aware of what was happening over these 72 hours. Like I said, Yankee fans are mostly idiots. But they do know what's in front of them. They recognize what they're looking at. They may be in denial about it, but deep down they know. They know that this Red Sox team is for real. They know that this current Yankee team has a real hard time with them. And it is just marvelous, isn't it? Brian Bayo against the Yankees in his career is 5-3 with a 1.95 ERA. The only team he has a better ERA against is Pittsburgh, who has a 0 ERA against them in 6 innings. Against the Giants, he's also pitched 6 innings with a 1.50 ERA. And there was one other one. Yes, against the Marlins. 20 innings against the Marlins with a 1.80 ERA. Those all sound fine, right? Against the Yankees, he's pitched 60 innings with an ERA of 1.95 and a whip of 1.1 in 60 innings. That's not a very small sample size. As a matter of fact, He's pitched more innings against the Yankees than any other team. And with the sample being more than, you know, 6 to 10 innings, that's who he's best against. And I don't take that lightly. I think that's important. I think it's important to have a guy that is, or more than one guy really, that is not afraid or looks at the whole Yankee rivalry as this big overwhelming thing. I remember Clay Buchholz, who had some good starts against the Yankees. It's not like he got pummeled by them all the time or anything, but I remember Buchholz being one of those guys who was like, yeah, you know, at Yankee Stadium, sometimes the environment there, it's just tough to pitch in. Oh, yeah, you really got to bring your bat because it's hard to do that. And there's some guys who have to overcome the Yankee Stadium energy and the Yankee Stadium thing in order to pitch well. There's some guys who feed off it. Schilling fed off it. You know, like Pedro fed off it until he didn't, but Crochet definitely feeds off it, and Bayo definitely feeds off it too. And there's a difference. There's a difference between overcoming it and welcoming it. And I think that for these Red Sox right now, especially their younger players, you see some young guys on this team in important positions, your number one and two starter, which I believe Bayo is now, by the way. I believe Bayo is officially your number two starter. It was Giolito for me, but these last couple of starts and his dominance of the Yankees have pushed me in favor of Bayo now. And that could change. It could change between now and the end of the year. But right now, that's where I'm leaning. I'm leaning towards Bayo. You have Bayo, you have Crochet, you have Roman Anthony. Those are three guys right there who seem to welcome it, who seem to thrive off of it. And I think that's great news. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will continue with our Red Sox-Yankee Bash Fest, which I'm really enjoying. I don't know if you are. Dustin May is going today. Walker Buehler has been sentenced to the bullpen. We're going to talk about how that's going to work. We're going to discuss this Red Sox rotation, Bayo and Giolito, what they've contributed to it, how much they've really carried this team and floated this team through some tough times this season. We'll get to the Red Sox pitching staff, Andrew Bailey, and his effect on it, all of that when we come back, and your phone number at 617-779-7937 if you want to jump in. We'll get to your calls and talk pitching next.